So what do you guys think of the keynote? Good? Yeah? It was interesting, you know, it was good of Microsoft to bring Brad Anderson, you know, down here. He's a pretty, you know, well-received person in the industry, you know, pretty high up at Microsoft. So I thought that was pretty cool. just curious, what did everybody think of kind of what he had to say? Good, bad, indifferent? Any yes, bad, no, like, didn't like? But thank you very much for your time this afternoon. We really appreciate it. My name is Clint Wyckoff. I'm on the global product strategy team at Veeam Software. So what does that mean? I'm one of the global Microsoft evangelists. I've been with Veeam now for about 3 years or so. I left for 11 months there in the middle, but I've been back now for about 6 months. So we're here to chat with you folks, not only about who Veeam is and kind of what we do for the folks in the audience that might not be familiar with us, but also kind of fill in the gaps and answer a lot of questions on how we, you know, work with Azure, how we can leverage Azure to get your on-premises data off site, right? Because that's something that folks kind of traditionally have a struggle with. You might notice by my accent, I'm not from Australia. I am from the States, born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So for those of you that follow the NFL, go Steelers, yeah? By a show of hands, who in here is familiar with Veeam software? Yes? For those of you folks that are customers of Veeam, raise your hand also. Okay, so good spread. How many of you folks in here run Hyper-V? Yeah, large majority. What about folks that run VMware? That's like a swear word. Yeah, what about both? Anybody? Okay. Well, I like to keep my sessions fun and interactive. You know, nobody likes a monologue. Let's have a discussion, and feel free at any time to stop me and ask any questions. And I have a mix of both slides as well as live demo, so I hope you can appreciate the fact that my demo is going all the way across the Pacific Ocean to Columbus, Ohio, where my lab is. So it should be nice and latent. For those of you guys, and I apologize for having to go over here, my Surface only has one USB port, and I'm using a wired Ethernet connection, so I don't have a clicker. But for those of you folks that might not be familiar with who Veeam is and kind of what we do, we've been around since 2006, shipping products since then. Privately held company, we have around 2,000 or so employees worldwide. We have local offices here in Australia, in Sydney. A large majority of our worldwide support organization is run out of the Sydney office, for you folks that didn't know that. So, you know, kind of get to chat with local folks whenever you have any issues or problems or have any questions, right? We figure we're protecting around 10 million or so VMs worldwide. Now, that's pretty much all that we do, right? And I shouldn't say all that we do, because that's a lot, because the modern data center has really evolved, and it's definitely got a virtual first strategy. So regardless if you run VMware vSphere or Microsoft Hyper-V, we can protect those on-premises as well as move those off-site. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So, you know, if we kind of look back at the evolution of the data center, it's really interesting because, you know, just a few short years back, you know, I was an IT pro in Pittsburgh. There's a large sporting goods organization in the States called Dick's Sporting Goods. That's where I was a Veeam customer. And, you know, I can remember back in we say back in the day, but it was really just a few years ago when we were in the data center racking and stacking physical servers, right, and loading, you know, SQL Server or IIS or, you know, application, SharePoint, BizTalk. You know, I can remember doing all that stuff. But if we kind of look at it, you know, who in here, when was the last time anybody racked a physical server that its purpose wasn't to be a hypervisor? It's few and far between any longer, because everybody's, you know, reaping the benefits of the, you know, virtualization, right? Consolidation, I can get a smaller footprint, power cooling, you know, they're more mobile. There's a lot of great benefits that virtualization brings forth for us, right? So this modern data center is really obviously evolving in our customer base. The folks at IT services really has a lot of unique challenges, right? And I think Brad kind of talked about that today, right? Everybody wants access to their data at all times, you know. If you think about it, every one of us has a device or a laptop or multiple devices, and you got OneDrive, and you got data here and there, but I want to be able to get to it from everywhere, right? I want to have access to my data. And the folks that IT service right? Our business, our customers, because IT only exists for one sole purpose, and that is to serve the business, right? Can we all agree that? Yeah? Shake your head no if you disagree, it's okay. But that's really the premise of why, you know, IT exists in this modern data center, is really evolving and challenging things, right? So being the dynamic environment and the fluidity that virtualization brings, right, a lot of the backup tools and even monitoring tools are always an afterthought, right? Virtualization is moving so fast, the business is moving so fast, we need to move along with them. We can't be lagging behind. But yet a lot of the infrastructure tools that we have in place really weren't built and designed for this virtual infrastructure, okay? So, you know, one of the things that we talk about is legacy backup, right? Traditional agent-based backup solutions, you know, weren't built for virtualization. That's why a lot of the modern vendors like Veeam, and there's several others out there today that leverage image-based backups, where you don't have to install any persistent software inside of it, right? I can do a bunch of different restore options from a single backup, right? So if we think about what legacy backup brought forth in a virtualized environment, we're not able to meet the business's recovery time objectives, right? I can't restore fast enough, but then also within IT, I can't back up fast enough, right? Or recovery point objective. I can't back up frequently enough. Maybe I'm backing up once a day, once every other day, but maybe I have critical applications that require more frequent backups. You know, SQL Server is a great example. You know, I want to be able to back up my SQL Server more frequently throughout the day because it's very transactional, and I can't afford to miss any of those opportunities, okay? So that's really what Veeam has really set out to ensure that our customers, our prospects, our partners, right? We're a very, very channel-friendly organization. A large part of our business comes from service providers. But ensuring that not only can you folks, being customers and service providers, meet the demands in the recovery time, or what we call RTPO, recovery time point objectives. And we feel at Veeam that each one of these applications, regardless of what it is in your entire environment, being in a VM, should be able to be serviced back up and running within 15 minutes, okay? So that's really a lot of the things that I'm going to talk about and show you today really revolve around that. So what we're seeing, and I hate marketing slides. I absolutely 100% positively do, but they make me put these things up here. So we see this gap, right? And I hate the 82% of CIOs, but the point being is that folks that can't meet the requirements, the recovery requirements, the backup requirements of their business, right? They have this what we call availability gap. They can't service their business fast enough, okay? So that's really where we come in, right? And if we can all agree that the downtime, right, has dollars associated with that, you know, unnecessary, unplanned system outages, you know, server crashes, I can't restore my server, it takes, you know, 2 days to call tapes back and restore that. There's dollars associated with downtime, okay? So really what we're providing is what we're quoting, you know, availability for the modern data center. Now, backup is relatively easy, right? It's easy to back things up. But whenever things go bump in the night, and we all know that they do, and it just so happens that it's like at 3 o'clock in the morning, or whenever you're in the line at the grocery store, you get that dreaded phone call from like the help desk saying, hey man, you know, stuff's down, can you help me out? You know, can you restore this? Or you get the call from your manager or whatever saying, you know, hey, or you have a CIO in your cube, right? Looking over your shoulder saying, is it back up yet? Is it back up yet? Those are bad moments and, you know, kind of the hot seat, right? You get that sinking feeling, yeah? We've all, I'm sure, been there in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, we leverage technologies within virtualization, you know, VMware vSphere, modern storage, you know, being able to leverage storage snapshots, version 9. For those of you guys that are Veeam customers, version 9 is going to be coming out here within the next, I would say, month or so, where we're going to add integration with EMC VNX and VNXE storage devices to be able to back up off of, you know, storage-based snapshots. Previous versions, we've had support for HP 3PAR and the VSA, the store virtual VSA adapter, as well as NetApp 2, right? So for you folks that are running any of those, you'll be able to get benefits. But then also the cloud in Microsoft Azure is a great place for us. So if we look at this, you know, back in the day, racking and stacking, loading operating systems and applications within a physical environment, those applications, in fact, there's a statistic that Microsoft publishes, and I don't know whether you guys know this or not, but 90% of the servers that are virtualized run Microsoft operating systems and applications. So, you know, Microsoft manages these applications and services with the suite of tools that they call System Center, right? And System Center is made up of, you know, Ops Manager, Config Manager, DPM. There's several different components, okay? But like I said, virtualization's really kind of changed things. And what we're bringing forth to the table is really being able to not only protect these VMs on-premises, but off-premises as well. And this is what we've kind of been our bread and butter for years now, since 2006, as I mentioned, since we've been around. We've been, you know, coined as the, you know, it just works, or the number one VM backup tool out on the market. Really, that's where we have been around. But then also, you know, for you folks that are running System Center Operations Manager, does anybody run SCOM? Yeah? How do you monitor? I'm just curious, for you folks that run SCOM, how do you monitor your VMware or your Hyper-V? I shouldn't stop saying that word here. How do you monitor your Hyper-V environments within System Center Operations Manager? It's typically it's a challenge, right? So we, years back, we purchased a company called NWorks that they had a management pack. It was, at that point, it was strictly for VMware environments. But what that does is it brings in all that VMware Hyper-V information natively into System Center so that you can drill down to it and visualize it and see. It's a really cool tool. Whenever I was a customer of VM, that's the tool that I used. And that's how we monitored our data center. But then also, you know, this Azure is a hot topic, especially for the Microsoft guys, right? They got all these data centers around the world. I think the number that they said they spend is like $21 billion worldwide building all these data centers. Now they need to get data into it so they can start, you know, charging people for this stuff. I built all these data centers. Now I need to start consuming it. So the large push for Microsoft is to get data, whether that be VMs or platform as a service or infrastructure as a service, archive as a service, as I like to call. That's AAAS. How would you pronounce that? Anyhow, but yeah, being able to get data on-premises out to the cloud. Cool. Fun. Fantastic. So here we can see within my on-premises VMware environment, this is just kind of how we set up. So the kind of the brains of the operation, and like I said, I'm going to dive into a demo of a version 9 software here just in a second. But basically, the brains of the operation relies in this main Veeam server. And the way that we scale within Hyper-V environments is we actually leverage the Hyper-V host as a proxy server. And that's kind of our data mover. And that allows folks to take not only on-host Hyper-V proxy mode, right, taking on-host, leveraging that on-host, or if you use hardware VSS provider, you can use off-host-based proxy servers, right, so that I can back up more efficiently using, you know, array-based type snapshots, right? In my lab, I actually run a Nimble that I take hardware VSS snapshots off of without a problem. One of the things that kind of put Veeam on the map is this concept of instant VM recovery, because if we think about it, what is a backup, right? A backup is something that I have sitting on a piece of disk or on a tape that I need to restore back into the environment, okay? It's compressed, deduplicated image. Traditionally, that takes time to recover. If something goes bump in the night, I need to recover. You know, I got to rehydrate that, restore it back into the environment. Instant VM recovery, it really provides the best recovery time objective to get users back up and running quickly by taking this compressed and deduplicated backup image, right, that we have running over here on my what's called a repository in Veeam terms, right? Excuse me. I can power that on, right? So that becomes either a VMDK file or a VHD/VHDX file within Hyper-V environments. And we present that to the host, right? So now it's a native VM, and we power it on. Even though it's running on the backup storage, so performance would be a little bit degraded, right? But that's okay. Users are back up and running. And then while it's running on my backup disk, I could use either live migration or storage vMotion to move it back over into the infrastructure quickly, right? So I can migrate it online. So if I think about what it took before with, you know, even legacy tools and even without using the vPower, the instant VM recovery technology here, right? We're able to get things back up and running much, much faster, okay? So we have a lot of really cool explorers, and this is really where I'm going to focus the demo that I'm going to do for you guys is, You know, eDiscovery being able to restore individual Microsoft Exchange items. So, you know, if a user called and said, hey, I deleted an email from yesterday, how do I get that back? Or, you know, if legal department called and said, hey, you know, Joe left, but he ended up sending, and we think he took all of his email with him, or, you know, maybe, you know, like I said, I'm from the States, and there was an old president back in the States. His name was Bill Clinton. I don't know if you guys remember Bill Clinton. Well, Bill Clinton liked to delete a lot of email because he was doing bad things behind the scenes, right? So if I wanted to reach into Bill's email box and maybe export out the contents to see what he was doing with Monica and export that to a PST file, right? Or even the things that Hillary's doing. That seems like a popular topic for the Clintons because Hillary's now doing things with her email. Bill's, anyhow, rat hole. So being able to restore things fast, simple, and easy. But not only for Exchange, other applications. So we leverage VSS to quiesce the applications inside the guest operating system. So whether it's Exchange, SharePoint, you know, Active Directory is a really cool one because with version 9, I'm actually able to restore individual, not only Active Directory objects and attributes of an Active Directory object, including a user's password or a computer password, like the SID that's associated with it, but I can also restore individual group policy objects and DNS host records too. So that's really cool, and I'll show you that live. But then also, you know, SQL Server, right? One of the most popular, probably lagging behind applications that folks virtualize. How many guys in here, or gals, virtualize your SQL environment, your production SQL? That's a good show of hands. A few weeks back, I did we sponsored in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a SQL Server user group there that I led. And a lot of the guys there, you know, it was a bunch of DBAs being a SQL user group, which is a completely different crowd than what I'm used to talking to. And try having an interesting conversation with a DBA is really challenging. But these guys had an interesting point of view because they didn't care where their databases ran. All they cared about was the performance that they were going to get from. That's all they cared about, right? They didn't care if it was in VMware. They didn't care if it was in Hyper-V. They didn't care if it was in a cluster or a high availability group. As long as it ran fast and they could get access to their databases and things, that's all that they cared about. So at this point, I'm going to talk to you. You know, we talked about the management pack, and I'll demo this too in just a second. But it, like I said, it brings all the virtualization environment into System Center Operations Manager. So here is my Veeam environment. Now, quick show of hands again, who is a Veeam customer? Okay. Note here that I'm not logged into my backup server. This is a management server that I have a remote console installed on. What was one of the things that's new for version 9, because before you had to log into the Veeam server, you can only have two people logged in at a time because remote desktop, maybe one with the console. But now we're introducing this concept of being able to install remote consoles and connect to multiple Veeam environments if you have them. So that's what this is. But within here, I've got a bunch of different backup jobs and things that I've got configured. And the first one that I'm going to point to here is my Active Directory environment. So all I did was go under disk here on the left, and if I right-click on my VM, it gives me a list of options that I can restore from, okay? And I chose Active Directory object because that's what I want to go in and restore. And you can see here that I've got a bunch of different restore points to choose from. I'm just going to go to the one from yesterday. Next, give it a reason, if you'd like, hit finish. So what this is actually going to do is it's going to mount the ntds.dit, the actual Active Directory database that's in that backup file, to my Veeam server and present it in this nice little wizard that almost looks like, you know, my Active Directory Users and Computers, MMC, that I log into to actually manage, right? So once this mounts up here in a second, I'll be able to drill down through and show you how you could restore an object or, you know, an attribute or a password or even, you know, a group policy object or a DNS host record. So now that this is up, I can drill down in here and I can see, you know, users. I can see computers if I wanted to go into here. You know, I can see a whole list of different things that I want to restore. If I right-click, I can restore back to the original location, right? Assuming, you know, say you accidentally deleted a service account by accident, you know, as the guy was walking out the door on his last day. You can restore that. Or, you know, one of my favorite things is we like to change service account passwords, right? But we might not realize, you know, application folks write their code hard-coded maybe to some passwords and things, and you might have to revert back to what the password was before. That's a good example. So if I wanted to restore to a different location or different attributes, right, I can go like that. I'm going to have to log in with a different lab. Hopefully I didn't fat finger it. This is just making sure I am, I'm logged into a, this isn't the same, notice how I'm logged in here with an SSA, one domain account, and this is a different domain, that's why it's asking me to authenticate there. So hopefully it connects and goes through, but whenever I get presented here, I'll have options, you know, what do I want to restore, where do I want to restore it to, what do I want to restore. If you're familiar with like ADSI edit, there's a lot of different Active Directory attributes that are associated that you might not be just visible, right? You actually have to open ADSI edit. But what we'll be able to do is restore individual attributes of objects, computer objects, user objects, OUs. Yeah, see? So we'll just restore to the original container. If I want to restore the password to what it was at the time that this backup was taken, right? So this was yesterday at, say, 11 p.m., right? It would restore the password back to what it was. You can also set it to change at the next login. You know, do I want to enable or disable? If it was disabled during the backup, we'll keep it that way. And if it was enabled, we'll keep it that way. But then also, you know, here I can select attributes. And then whenever I hit next, I can come down here and I can scroll through. Maybe somebody, you know, change, I don't know, a bunch of email addresses or, you know, phone numbers or, you know, a lot of different options, right? Options are good. And it's easy to do, too, right? And I'm just going to hit cancel and actually not restore it. One of the new things here for version 9 is the ability to, must not have DNS running on this domain controller, restore group policy objects. You know, so if somebody goes in and makes a change that screws up, you know, a bunch of secure endpoints, like point of sale, for instance, right? Or maybe I have a gold image or a master GPO for accounting and things like that, right? And somebody goes in and makes a change and it completely foobars everything for your user base, you know, it's easy to restore back to what it was, your last known good configuration, if you will, right? The next item I'm going to show you guys here is the Veeam Explorer for Exchange. Now, this one's really cool because we've added some enhanced e-discovery capabilities. Excuse me. So if I hit next, next. Now again, this is actually going to reach into my restore point and mount the EDB, the Exchange database file, right, to my Veeam box. And it'll look just like Outlook essentially does, right? So then I can, you'll see here just in a second whenever this kind of processes and mounts to my my Veeam box, that we'll be able to go in there, search across the entire Exchange infrastructure, export items out to a PST file, restore back to the original location, email it to a guy. So I know in my environment, if I do an advanced find and I want to search across the to field, contains the word whole, because Rick, does anyone in here know Rick Vanover? Anyone know Rick? Well, other than the Veeam people in the back. Rick's my colleague. But Rick likes to send emails with bad things at it in them to the entire company. So if I come in here and I search for whole, because I have a distribution list that's called whole company, I can see what he sent. I could also, if I double click on any one of these, It'll open it up so I can see the contents, right? So here we got end of month forecasts due. He sent to the whole company. Did he mean to do that? Maybe yes, maybe no. But if I wanted to select a large group of this, right, one of the things that I can do is I can restore back to the original location, right? I can export out to a PST file. Now, one of the unique parts of being able to export this out to a PST file, right? Imagine the e-discovery litigation scenario that we talked about earlier. If we get on here, in the export will actually include kind of the parameters, when we ran this, who ran it, where was the location at, what did we select, what exchange database did it come from, also, you know, the size of the export so we can validate that not only that the contents of the PST match what was exported, so everything's there. So this is very valuable information from a litigation perspective and e-discovery to provide to lawyers and folks like that to show, essentially what was contained there. But then also you'll notice down here, before you go ahead and export this out or even try to do a restore, we'll give you an estimation of, you know, how many items are found and what's the size that would be exported or restored back into the environment. That's pretty cool if you ask me. What else? I think that was it, all that I wanted to show you in here. Does anybody have any questions so far? Kind of makes sense? We're 29 minutes in. Questions? No? Anyone quiet? On site, yeah.
Because effectively you're journaling, so it's doing something like that from Office 365.
Yeah, if you think about it, right, if you have stuff running in Office 365, it's not presented as a virtual machine, right? This is kind of the challenge even with trying to back things up and restore things in Azure today. You don't get native access to Hypervisor, which is what you need to do a lot of that stuff. The cool thing for us is with Windows Server 2016, I don't know if you guys have been following that, but the concept of nested virtualization that is going to be supported in Windows Server 2016, and one of the main use cases that Microsoft has for that nested virtualization is nesting Hyper-V in Azure. So, I would load up these large VMs, load Hyper-V on top of that, and run multiple Hyper-V hosts. So now I have native access. I'm running nested virtualization in Hyper-V, so now I can do failover to Azure, I can do restores out to Azure, I can do back, I can do a lot more fun stuff than what's possible today without using Azure Site Recovery and Azure Backup and all that stuff. So I mentioned, I'll just show it really, really briefly, the management pack. So what I've got here is my Hyper-V environment pulled into my System Center. Operations manager, it's my native SCOM console. I just have what's called the morning coffee dashboard report. So it's kind of a high level overview that we've got. This is version 8 of the MP, yeah. It's out, yeah. It's actually been out since August, September timeframe. It launched at System Center Universe, Europe in Basel, Switzerland, a few months back. Yeah. One of the cool things that I like to show here is if you've got different dashboards and things, I like to show off the SQL Server dashboard. So if you import the SQL Server management pack, it gives you a lot of cool visualizations. Now, our objects are the same as any other SCOM object, so I can leverage these other dashboarding technologies that are available through other MPs, being the SQL Server MP, to pull all of my Veeam information. So I just used a custom dashboard. Whenever you create the dashboard, one of the options is SQL dashboard, and then you can point to your different virtualization objects. So I'm pointing at what I've created, a dynamic group in SCOM called Platinum Host. So I've grouping applications and servers based on SLA, right? And I've created a Platinum dashboard here. It's easy to consume. It's visually appealing, right? Management loves this kind of stuff because they don't have to think. So kind of going back here. So right now, the next part we're going to kind of talk about is Azure and how we can move the VMs and things out to Azure. So really, how many folks in here use Azure today? Anybody? Do you guys that are running Azure, is everything run in Azure? Are you kind of running a mixed environment, hybrid, both on-premises, out in the cloud? Yeah? Hybrid? If you don't mind me asking, what types of applications do you run within Azure? Just curious.
Yeah, some of the fun, say, Citrix servers out there, or DR.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're a service provider that runs in Azure. Okay. That's cool. That's good. We have a free tool. It's called Fast SCP for Microsoft Azure, completely free. It allows you to copy on-premises data, you know, over the 2 gigabyte file limit, like a remote desktop, because if I tried to copy and paste from my on-site out to an RDP window, 2 gigabytes, is you can't do it, right? But if you think about SQL servers, you know, one of the use cases that I hear frequently from folks is running development environments out in Azure because it's very nimble, it's easy to stand up, tear down. But what if I wanted to get my on-site data refreshed out to Azure, right? I can take the MDF, LDF SQL databases and just copy those out using Fast SCP that we have, our free tool, and import that into my SQL database. Now I have production data running in the cloud, Azure, using a free tool. I think that's cool. So the other part of this is, you know, for service providers, we have a large part of our business comes from service providers. We have this thing that we launched in version 8 last year that we call Veeam Cloud Connect. Has anyone heard of Veeam Cloud Connect? Yeah, quite a few head nods. So what that allows, you know, service providers to do is stand up infrastructure within Azure, and then we're going to be doing live demos of actually doing this, standing it up and how to go through the process in the Azure Marketplace and everything tomorrow and for the next few days in the Azure Marketplace Theater that's on the showroom floor. But essentially, you stand up an infrastructure in Azure and you charge customers, right, your tenants, to move data on-premises out to your cloud and you charge them on an ongoing basis. The other part of it is, is anybody in here run Store Simple, have Store Simple, heard of Store Simple? Heard? Okay. You have it, sir? Okay. No, you just heard of it. Fair enough. Then I'll just kind of glaze over this, but Store Simple we can use as an on-premises repository, and this would automatically copy data out to Azure based on retention policies that you set to Azure Blob Storage. Within the MP and within Veeam 1, we have several different tools that allow you to show what workloads would look like. You know, management says, hey, you know, I went to this conference or I was talking to this guy at Microsoft and he's like, yeah, we should move everything out to Azure. How much would it cost? Or what would I need out in Azure? We have tools, capacity planning tools, both for Azure as well as vCloud Air, that show you what you would need to, you know, I would need, you know, 10A0, 10A1, 10D15, or, you know, whatever different Azure VM sizes. It shows you what that would look like moving my on-premises out to Azure or vCloud Air. And then we chatted about Fast SCP. You don't need to go over that. The Store Simple is actually a really interesting case. Fortescue Metals presented with us at TechEd Australia, or TechEd Europe, or TechEd Australia. I can't remember. Was it Australia? Yeah. About, not last year, but the year before that, I believe. Or maybe it was last year with Doug. Okay. But yeah, it's a good use case study that we have. And then also Mazda is a large Veeam Store Simple shop, too, in the States, Southern California, if that was of interest. But it doesn't look like it is. So we'll move forward. Now, as I mentioned, Cloud Connect is actually, if you go out and look at statistics on how frequently applications are deployed within the Azure Marketplace, Microsoft pulls these for us on a pretty regular basis. But the Veeam Cloud Connect, essentially it's a Windows Server 2012 R2 image that's been validated by Microsoft that has Veeam backup and replication preloaded on it. Okay, so all you gotta do is just install a license file and go away and you're good to go. But it's the number one deployed virtual machine within the Azure Marketplace. And this allows, like I said, service providers and even enterprise customers. So is anybody in here a Microsoft EA customer by chance? Yeah? For our enterprise agreement customers, one of the things we've just come out with is Veeam Cloud Connect for the enterprise. So traditionally, Cloud Connect had to go through a service provider to get out to Azure. What we're enabling our enterprise agreement customers from Microsoft to do is to stand up their own cloud environment within Azure and leverage off-premises protection, archival, you know, using Veeam technologies to get data out to off-site. Is anybody in here familiar? I like to ask questions, right? Keeps it interactive. Plus, it keeps you awake. Anybody know what the 3-2-1 rule is? If you know what it is, I'll have a special gift for you. I don't know what it'll be, but I'll have a special gift for you. Yes?
3 copies of data, 2 different types of media, 1 offsite.
Perfect. What do you think folks struggle with the most? The 1 offsite, right? I know, and if you come by the booth later, I will have something for you. I'll figure out what it'll be, but it'll be special just for you because you're a nice guy. You look like a nice guy. Who do you work for, can I ask you?
Onet.
Onet. That's cool. Are you familiar with Veeam then? Yeah? Do you run Veeam today? And I have to ask the million. This is for like the extra special prize, right? If you come by at 6 o'clock tonight, I'll even buy you a beer. So what's your, this isn't state, and I'm just curious, like what's your general experience with Veeam like?
It's pretty good, but I still struggle getting that 1 offsite to tape.
Yeah, okay, tape.
Just the amount of the volume and data.
Right. So that's, you know, disk-based backup solutions, or you got to go to disk, then you're going to tape. You know, a lot of folks still use tape today. We think that tape is definitely still not alive, still not dead. Whenever I was at Dick's, we used tape every day, and we had Iron Mountain would come and pick up their little case of tapes, and he would carry it away, and he would bring new ones back in again, and that's how life was. And if you ever needed to restore from it, pray the bloody Lord that it works. Anyhow, I digress. Where was I going? Cloud Connect. Off-premises, Azure, enterprise customers can take advantage of this today. And the best way to do this is to live demo. So here I have a version 8. So this isn't version 9. You'll notice that the user interface is a little bit different. So what I've done is I've got an on-premises backup job here that I called Ignite AU, okay? So what this does is this backs up to, I have an Exagrid, okay, in the lab. It backs up locally to my Exagrid. And then what we do is we use what we call backup copy job. So this is going to copy the data that's on-premises off-site or to a different location or to a different type of media, being tape is a good example, or maybe I'm backing up to a fast SSD pull for local restore points, and then I have a data domain or an Exagrid or an HP store once, deduplication storage appliances for long-term archival because it's cheaper, right? So what I've got here is a copy job. You can see it's still churning away. It's 41% done right now. But essentially, what we're doing here is I'm targeting an Azure repository. It's a cloud repository, okay? So how did I do this? The first step in the process is to have an internet connection whenever you get in the room. And the second step is to remote desktop into your Azure environment, which I should have already done, and I apologize for that. So this is going to come up in just 1 second. But within Azure, I basically create a tenant environment, okay? Notice how there's a different view here, right? It's this Cloud Connect infrastructure because I had a separate license, a different kind of license for Azure, okay? So within here, I create a user, you know, being myself. Within here, I can give quotas in different repositories so I can limit customers. So now I've got a multi-tenant environment, okay? So now I can have multiple customers. You know, again, this is available for not only service providers, but also enterprise too. But you can see here, if I navigate out to my backup repository, my Ignite AU to Azure job that was 41% complete done is still chugging along here, but now, you know, I'm protected. I've got my data offsite in the case of a disaster. So now with my data, I'm abiding by the 3-2-1, three different copies of my data, two different types of media, one offsite. But then who knows what Azure does with this, what Microsoft actually does with this once it's in Azure. Does anybody know? Yeah. They're replicating it. They're geo-replicating it. You can opt out of it, but you actually have to go in and specifically say, do not geo-replicate this, and it takes the cost down less per month. So now I'm protected on-site with 3-2-1, but then I'm also potentially protected off-site with 3-2-1 because there are multiple data centers across the world, right? So it's a very, very redundant, very, very resilient solution that you're pretty much protected in any type of disaster should things go bump in the night. And then, you know, I can come in here. I've got all, so this is a different, I have a Windows Server 2003, but if I right-click on it, I can do a lot of different restore options. I can restore files, right? So PDF files, Exchange database, MDF, LDF. I just can't spin anything up in Azure because I don't have access to the hypervisor yet. Question?
So that is covering the ability to file it up online in Azure for the entire VM.
Yeah, well, you know, whenever Microsoft comes out with Windows Server 2016, you know, I was having a chat with one of my internal Veeam folks today because, you know, part of my job is not only evangelize to community folks like you, but also talk about this stuff to our own people that are selling this stuff, right, and make sure that they understand it. And he was kind of upset. He's like, how come we can't restore in Azure? How come we can't replicate? How come? I'm like, dude, do you realize it's not a limitation of Veeam? It's more a limitation of just what we have access to, because every backup provider, you know, other than, you know, Microsoft themselves, is going to be susceptible to these kind of challenges, as I like to call them. Does that make sense? What else did I want to show? Who, being a Microsoft show and Microsoft guy, does anybody in here run Veeam Backup Endpoint? Endpoint Backup? Yeah, just a couple of you guys? Who in here has a Windows laptop? Everybody should raise their hand. If you're not running this, you're missing the boat, okay? It's a completely free, doesn't cost a single cent, right? Not a red penny, not a whatever you guys call Australian dollar. I'm kidding. It's free. But it allows you to back up laptops, endpoints, or maybe those last remaining physical servers that you had. And I can back them up to local USB drives. I can back them up to Veeam repositories, right? So now we're also coming out with Veeam Backup, Veeam Endpoint Backup Free Edition, say that five times fast, for Linux. So one of the most commonly virtualized workloads in public cloud environments is Linux, right? Folks struggle with being able to back these up like in Amazon or even in Azure and things. So we've come out with a completely free Linux-based backup tool too, right? And I can do individual item recovery. I can do bare metal recovery. It creates a boot media. Whenever the first time you actually install it, you can put in a USB and it'll inject all the drivers and everything on it. So whenever your, you know, system goes crash, yeah, you can. But yeah, it's really it's really a powerful tool. So if I wanted to come in here, you know, I can choose restore entire volume, or if I wanted to go back and restore an individual file that was on my laptop, I protect my pictures and my personal data and stuff this way, right? So it'll go out there, it'll search. I don't actually have my external USB drive attached, so it would fail, but it's free. And let's see here. Veeam Bats, we're just going to talk about, and kind of the, where's it at? I must have opened the wrong one. Hold on 1 second. Who has ever been to a Veeam party? Anybody ever been to a Veeam party before? Yeah? I must have, I don't know, I opened the wrong, but for you guys, just for you, because I like you guys. Go vee.am/igniteau. I created a short URL. I remember that. Here we go. We're actually having a party tomorrow night. And you being my special attendees, I invite each and every one of you. And you can go out there. It's just, it's really easy. vee.am/igniteau. And you can register. And you can come and hang out and have a good time with us. We can share a few laughs and drinks and have fun, chat. So at this point, that's really all that I kind of had, you know, formally planned for you guys. I'll open it up if anybody has any questions or concerns or anything that they want to talk about. Now would be a good time. Anything? Yes, sir. All the way here in the back. I'm sorry, why would you use Veeam over Azure Site Recovery? So we don't compete with Azure Site Recovery at all. I can't replicate, the challenge is I can't replicate to Azure, right? So Azure Site Recovery gives you the ability to fail over, fail back, replication. It's not backup, right? The challenge, like I said, the challenge that we have is we don't get access to the hypervisor. So whenever we do replication, I point it at an offsite Hyper-V environment so that I can fail over, right? Power those on. So we don't compete with Azure Site Recovery at all. Good question, though. Yes, sir.
For an environment who has hybrid environment, like some services on-prem and some services in the cloud, do you have any central solution that backs up both environments, like VMs in on-prem and VMs in hybrid in Azure?
Yeah. So on-prem, you would leverage Veeam. I don't know the volume of VMs that you have running in Azure. If it's a couple, maybe 5, 10, 15. Okay. Then I honestly, the best way to do it would be just use Veeam Backup Veeam Endpoint Backup Free Edition, to be completely honest. And now you can do item level recovery and things of those VMs and stuff that are running in Azure. That's the best workaround, if you will, that I have for you. Anyone else? Well, I thank you very much. I think we're right on time. Maybe you get a couple minutes back, but thanks a lot. Come by the booth. Please don't be shy. You know, we'll be hanging out there for the rest of the week. And I appreciate your time. Thanks, everybody.
You can. Yeah, so you can.